Areena.
Hei, hei, Ulla. Kiva, kun on täällä. Mä voin vielä
Hello and welcome to All Points North. What you just heard was the beginning of my visit to a forest daycare in central Helsinki. I tagged along with the group as they set off on their morning walk into the woods of the capital's Central Park. Picture this, a group of toddlers wandering through the forest. This isn't recess, it's daycare. It's a forest kindergarten or metsäkerho, a place where nature gives the kids everything they need to learn. Instead of playing with plastic toys, they explore, play, and discover with whatever they find in the woods.
Kuusi sientä. Onpa jänniä. Se on toin korkealla. Sä et varmaan yllä.
When you walk around here in the forest, what are you stopping to look at and do, and what is the teaching element?
Behind our activities, there's this educational plan. We don't do things randomly. We teach children about nature, and their motor skills improve here, and they learn about a lot of things. We can count how many mushrooms we find, and we learn about what's different between autumn and summer.
And that was Ulla Holmstedt of the city's, I should mention, free nature daycare in Pasila. Families who move to Finland often point to the country's close connection with nature as one of the things they value the most. But alongside that image of harmony with the outdoors, another story has been making headlines this week, and it's a little bit more unsettling. It's about Finnish parents who say they're actually afraid of their own children. It boils down to parents worried about facing conflicts at home. This whole topic made headlines after the Daily Helsingin Sanomat ran a story about a mother whose young child spends around 5 hours a day glued to a smartphone. And when she tried to take the phone away, it wasn't just a little protest. It was full-on screaming, yelling, and tantrums. Psychologist Keijo Tahkokallio told Yle this week that many parents are afraid of these kinds of confrontations with their kids. They hesitate to set boundaries. And in Finland, where kids are encouraged to be independent from a very young age, the question becomes, where's the line? Tahkokallio says the idea that kids have the right to make their own choices independently has become nearly untouchable in Finland. Now, parenting challenges like this are by no means unique to Finland, but it did get me thinking about how Finnish families operate compared to families with other backgrounds. I asked you, our APN audience, whether you've started parenting like a Finn. And the response was amazing. So many of you reached out and you didn't hold back. A couple of themes really stood out. First, a lot of you loved that your children are growing up with a strong sense of independence, especially when you compare that to kids in many other countries. But there was also some surprise or even shock around one cultural difference, the fact that in Finland, sitting down together for a nightly family meal just isn't that common. First up, though, I want to bring in William Doyle. He's written 2 books on Finland with a special focus on the positives of a play-based childhood. And he highlights something that's considered totally normal here, walking or biking to school on your own starting from first grade.
As a New York father in Finland, my conclusion is that this country, whether it fully realizes it or not, and I think a lot of people do sense that, is the childhood well-being capital of the world. And what I mean by that is, you know, number one, this has the lowest child poverty of any country in the EU, tied with Denmark and many others. So already Finland has won like the global Olympics of childhood. The fact that they're that you have the best trained teachers in the world and schools that are relatively Well, and I know, you know, when Finnish people hear me praising Finland sometimes, I think I sense a little skepticism because, you know, there are challenges, there are problems, there are crises here like anywhere else. But I think that Finland understands childhood very well. Everybody loves children in every country in the world, but I think that Finland understands childhood. And one of the fundamental understandings is they need great, great teachers, schools that are uniformly good to excellent across the country, and they need a lot of physical activity and play. There are Finnish parenting traditions that I admire so much. The immersion in nature. These are parenting and school traditions. Multiple recesses every day, which very few children in the world get anymore. Arts and crafts in school. Skiing to school, biking to school, as I said earlier, the lighter homework than other nations. The digitalization is something I think that's been a problem around the world, and I think Finland has an opportunity to lead the world, and it's starting to look at this much more closely. You know, the idea of giving independence to children is fantastic. I think you can give children independence with a flip phone until they're 18, but that puts me in a distinct, very distinct minority. But many teachers, many parents in Finland are now talking, organizing. You have a national smartphone ban. I think that's very that's very productive for children. And you know, the bottom line is the THL last August, a year ago, said that internet addiction-like symptoms, in their words, are now common among young people in Finland. Internet addiction-like symptoms common among young people, and that is linked to mental health problems, poor academic performance, anxiety, depression, and so forth. So if that's true, and I believe THL, they're the National Medical and Health Authority, then there's a bit of a wrong turn in terms of giving children at the age of 4, 5, 6, or 7 or older unlimited, unregulated, wide open 24-hour access in many cases to the digital world. I think that we can rethink that, so it's a much more child-friendly and digital well-being friendly approach. And I think that Finland's starting to talk about this, and they have Finland has the opportunity really to lead the world on this critical subject, which parents and governments around the world are grappling with every day.
William Doyle there on the merits of growing up in Finland. Next up, I'm chatting with Paola Elefante. She's an Italian mother here with tweens. She had some thoughts on Finnish versus Italian socialization.
In some cultures where you have less independence of kids, kids are surrounded by more adults. And so in a way they interact better, if you will, you know, in a more natural way with adults, and with kids they're like more rough at times, especially boys. And in Finland, I have a feeling that my kids are much more used to social rules around kids. Also because often, especially at this age, my kids are now 10 and 12, often there is no adult around when they interact with kids. So they also learn probably to have that kind of socialization in a more independent way.
Somebody said what's known as independence in Finland is child endangerment in other countries. And I had to chuckle to myself a little bit because there's a little bit of truth in that, isn't it? Because in other countries, you're not going to see 7-year-olds going by themselves to the swimming pool. And there are things that I've observed where I think, like, this is kind of a borderline neglectful situation.
I fully know what you mean. And I think also, yeah, for me, it's always about finding the line, because I noticed that my kids, and especially my 12-year-old, strive more and more for independence. And in this age especially, I have to often tell her, you're just 12. You don't get to do this. You know, you get to come home at this time. You have to be home, you know, at the hour we agree. So, And that was also like the comment I sent you a little bit. Like, on one hand, I really do appreciate this strive for independence that they have here. I do appreciate that my kids learn to do many, many things for themselves early on, and not just for a matter of convenience, but because I did see them flourish, you know, in the people that they are. So in that sense, very grateful that I was offered this different perspective, which allowed me to, you know, put in discussion certain things that I was taking for granted from my culture. But on the other hand, I also have a feeling that sometimes kids are left too much on their own here. And I mean, I know that not every parent, you know, has the luxury of, say, working from home and such. So in some cases, there's no other way. And so it is what it is. And thankfully, you can also do that without putting any kid in danger because they're so independent. But I think in there are cases in which I think many parents take for granted a little bit, like that the kids can take care of themselves more than they actually can or should. And kids themselves, again, I see it with my 12-year-old. She compares herself to her friends, and it seems that her friends generally have much more freedom. And to me, it doesn't always ring, you know, the bell right that there isn't that much freedom. So I'm also, another thing that shocks me a lot in Finland is also that even institutions treat this, you know, this independence as a given. As, for example, you at some point as a parent, you lose early on access to medical information, I think, or Vilma even, you know, the kids have more and more of that kind of, there's less parental control. And even the way the school interacts with the parent, in my experience at least, is very light touch. I don't know. I feel that many things that happen in her life are a bit out of reach for me.
A big theme that stood out in your responses was food and the role it plays in family life here in Finland. Take the Saturday-only candy tradition in many Finnish homes where kids get a whole bag of candy all for themselves. It's one of those classic Finnish quirks, but let's just say it didn't get much love from the foreign parents I spoke with. Before we hear what they had to say, here's Henna Vepsäläinen, a nutritional expert who studied the sugary tradition.
Candy Day or Karkipäivä was first invented in Sweden, actually, to improve dental health. So they discovered that rather than restricting the amount of sugary foods eaten, it would be important to restrict the frequency of sugary food consumption. And then they came up with this concept of Candy Day. And it was found to be a feasible concept. And it was then, as many other things, copied from Sweden to Finland in, I believe, 1970s.
Okay. Well, back in the 1970s, kids had less access to all these sugary things, which are everywhere now. So how feasible would you say that this thing is today?
This is an excellent question. And I cannot say for sure, but we do have data in which we asked families of children, 3 to 6 year olds children, whether they had a candy day or not. And about 2/3 of the children in our data set had a candy day. And we found that those children who had a candy day had actually slightly higher intakes of added sugar.
So it seems the jury's out on the point of candy day. Here's Paula's take on the once weekly sweet fix.
And also, like, what is the lesson there, really? I mean, that you just restrain yourself for like a week and then just go all in. I mean, this is, and then are they going to transfer that to other things? I don't know, alcohol when they're old? I don't know. I mean, what is the lesson really there? I mean, you can, I would rather teach my kids in general, like, restraints on those things, and also the reason why that is so. And I feel that that is really a larger food culture that you implement in your home. It's not just sweets. There are many, many things that you need to teach your kids when it comes to nutrition. And then, you know, having some cheats here and there, like just have a piece of cake here, there. But again, also making them reflect about, okay, let's have cake. We didn't have anything else today, so it's fine. Or maybe let's not have cake because, you know, you remember we actually ate ice cream in the afternoon. So teaching them to think that way, I think it's much more valuable as opposed to like pretending, like you say, because in the end it's just pretending, you don't have that control, pretending that they don't eat unhealthy foods and snacks throughout the weeks and then just like, oh, go to town with it. I remember many, many years ago, it was the first years, it was in Finland and my daughter was very small and we got hosted by this Finnish family. Their kids were older already, like they were in their teens. And well, first of all, the first shock was that on a Sunday, the parents just cooked one meal in kind of the middle of the day. That was already the first shock because as Italians, you know, our whole day is split by meal times. And you can't escape it. So that already was the first shock. Like, why one meal only? But not only that, they served it. And then no one sat down. They served it like in the living room. And then once in a while, one child would like go by, take a few scoops and then go eat maybe in their room or even around there. But there was no sit down together time. And that for me was like so shocking. I think now that I observe my kids are older, they start having hobbies and so on. It would be so easy to lean into that habit where like, okay, here's the food, just, you know, take it when you're hungry. No, I think it's, like you say, it's about making time and it's such an important family ritual.
French mom of two in Turku, Lena Gegard, shared thoughts along the same lines as Paola.
I feel like in Finland, often, and that's part of like the positive parts that kids have a lot of freedom and they're taught to really handle themselves really early on. But that somehow the parents don't take the role of like the guide somehow, and that we kind of trust them to know what's best for them. And that's a very different thing in how I was raised. And I think a little bit more general in the French culture, that there's really still this kind of ingrained deep cultural aspect that parents know better. And that parents kind of are there to guide their kids in like learning about nutrition and what they should eat and what they shouldn't. And this is the same with, I think, the freedoms that kids have here with phones and screens and so on, that we kind of just, we give it to them and then we think, yeah, I think they'll know how to use it properly when they're like 7, 8, 9. And to me, this is very, very much of a cultural difference into raising children. For example, in our family also, it's still very important, and I think that's because of me and because of the French side, that we eat together. We don't have like kids eat whenever they're hungry or when they come home from school. We kind of all wait and have this kind of time together, and we decide what's on the menu and kind of we make the choice for them. And that I notice very often with my kids' friends, that it's more of a, they come home, they're hungry, they just eat whatever's there, and there's no guidance from the parents. And that's kind of, it's just like expected for them to kind of learn on their own by trial and error, I guess, or by just, or maybe not at all, what is better for them.
We need to teach kids about community, and it starts from the family, and it starts from like, yeah, we are making time for each other. We all have busy days and we have very diverse lives. And I really hope that then they, you know, they will bring that into their life when they are with a partner in the future, or even when they live with friends. I mean, we need those communal moments. And honestly, I barely can think of anything else in our nowadays busy lives as instead of meals. You know, there's nothing else. Like, yeah, you can sometimes have a shared hobby, but as a family, it's hardly. Especially when kids grow and they develop their own taste, you know, for like what they want to do and whatnot. They have different schedules. So the meal is a sacred space for me, and I'm not willing to compromise it.
Listener Paola there telling us to manja or eat as a family for the good life. Another staple in Finnish family life is sauna time together, and many aspects of the institution can come as a surprise to foreign families. Kids grew up learning early on that getting steamy with your relatives is just a part of everyday life. And here's Joel Willens from the Very Finnish Problems franchise talking to me about the family sauna and whether he's a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real, I mean, I've banged on about like communal nudity a lot over the years, and what a big fan I am, which outside of Finland would sound very strange. But I do think, I mean, I came from quite a liberal family, so like, I mean, I was quite used to seeing my parents naked as I was growing up, but I think it's really common for people not in a lot of countries, I mean, in the UK even, to not have seen their parents naked. And I just think it's a, I think it's a healthy thing, it's a communal thing, like having a family spot where you all go to sound together. And you know, it could be even more than one generation, like three generations. So I mean, particularly for women who have, like, you know, have under certain pressures to look a certain way, I always think that when you see how the female body actually is in reality rather than in front of a magazine cover, it must be quite useful for girls growing up. I mean, obviously not a girl, like speculation there on my part, but I just think that's a healthy way of looking at you know, getting used to nudity on a sort of more a grander scale. So yeah, I'm all for it. We actually don't have, I mean, I do have a sauna shift, but my kids basically, the only time we go together now is in when we go to summer cottage, when yeah, the whole family goes, but we don't typically in the house anymore, just because they're like, they don't really do sauna.
Joel there sharing some positives from the Finnish way of life. Leena also had praise for how Finland treats its kids.
And I think in France, we could really learn a lot from Finnish way of raising kids, and to just let them be who they are, first of all, and not to just to let them be free, and like also with their bodies somehow. In France, we are so, for example, kids just are not wearing appropriate clothes to just play around outside and to, yeah, just to be free somehow. It's very constricting. And we just, for example, in French schools, I know that they don't let them go outside when it's raining, or they don't let them wear appropriate clothes just because they don't want to bother with putting on the clothes or to have places to store them and so on. And so we just keep kids away from those experiences just because of practical reasons.
Back at the nature daycare in Helsinki, the kids are busy enjoying the outdoors, where getting muddy and messy is simply a part of their day. And it's also good for them, as it boosts their immunity.
Kuku, oletteko te kaikki piilossa? Kuku! Kuku! Kuku!
You can join the conversation too. We want to hear what's on your mind. Just leave us a voice note or text on WhatsApp. Our number is +358 44 421 0909.
And now for a quick roundup of what's been making the headlines in Finland this week. On a visit to Kyiv, Finnish President Alexander Stubb warned that Russia is deliberately seeking an escalation in Europe, citing this week's drone strikes in Poland. First Lady Suzanne Inge Stubb visited a school in the Ukrainian capital, which suffered a major Russian missile strike last spring.
Visiting school 96 today, it was very impressive talking to the principal. The principal of any school has a tough job, but she has to look after the children when they're in the shelter, which has been quite a lot even since the beginning of term on the 1st of September. She's a real figurehead for the community, because locals can come and spend the night in the school and come and use it as a shelter out of school hours. So when I asked her how she managed, she said she just got on with it. And it was the same answer that I heard from parents at the hospital last year. So I think that's impressed me the most.
In a chilling discovery in Turku, the bodies of two people were found stored in freezers, apparently placed there some 30 years ago, according to local newspaper Nya Åland. The Helsinki Court of Appeal has ordered the immediate release of Aleksanteri Kivimäki. He had been serving a 6-year sentence for orchestrating a major data breach at the Vastaamo Psychotherapy Center. With birth rates falling, half of Finland's elementary schools are now at risk of closure. That's according to a study commissioned by the Ministry of Education, which found that there will be nearly 100,000 fewer school kids in Finland by 2040. Finnair is warning passengers that spring water served on some flights may have caused stomach bugs. The airline is asking anyone who experienced symptoms after drinking the water to get in touch with them. And finally, Helsinki will get a brand new Museum of Architecture and Design down in the city's South Harbour. The winning concept is called kumma, which can mean peculiar or curious in Finnish. The weekend's almost here, and what better time to explore what's on Yle's streaming platform Yle Arena. My pick this week takes us straight to the Vatican. The Young Pope features Jude Law as the unpredictable and fictitious Pope Pius XIII. And that really is all the time we have for today. Thanks, as always, to our audio engineer, Matias Puumala, for putting the show together, and to you for listening to and supporting All Points North. We'll be back again next week. Bye for now.